The Adventures of Frank Race, starring Tom Collins. The war changed many things, the face of the earth and the people on it. Before the war, Frank Race worked as an attorney, but he traded his law book for the cloak and dagger of the OSS. And when it was over, his former life was over, too. Adventure had become his business. The Adventures of Frank Race. We join Frank Race for the adventure of the General's Lady.
There's nothing quite as bad as the liquor you get in the Mediterranean area. And the Bar Salibri in Tunis is no exception. But it has an atmosphere you'll find nowhere else. And I sense a dawning appreciation of this in the attitude of Mark Donovan, who stood beside me drinking imitation
This is a great town, Race. I like it.
You didn't think you would, remember?
Yes, I was, man. When you said Africa, all I could think of was a lot of elephants snorting through the jungle. This place is class. Okay. Well, I get back to New York and tell the boys about this place. I couldn't do no better in front of Minsky's boy last year.
Pardon me. Didn't I have the name Race mentioned?
Yes, I'm Race.
You're my boy. I'm looking for you.
I had noticed him before. I'm standing at the end of the bar. He's tall and broad and red-headed, with a grin that would have elected him to public office.
Heard a lot about you, Ray. Guess that's why I was looking for someone to be throwing his weight around. A lot quieter than your reputation. I'm Ted Connell.
That's a pleasure. It's Mark Donovan.
Hi, Mark.
Hi.
How did you happen to hear about me?
Pete Peterson.
Pete? He's going to beat me here.
I know. That's why I've been looking for you. Pete couldn't make it.
Knowing Pete, I'm sure that means trouble. What's the story?
He's been hurt, badly hurt.
We're going to see him.
Well, come with me.
We'll come. Lead the way. Pete Peterson, international troubleshooter for one of the biggest insurance outfits in the business. When you thought of Pete, you usually thought of drive and vitality. But the drive was out of him now, and he had about as much vitality as a wet sack. Pete Peterson had become a limp heap on a bed of pain.
Grace. Glad you got here. What happened, Pete? What happened to your face?
My face?
Yeah. Got to take some surgery to make it look decent again.
You got it, Pete.
I could tell you the name of one of them. The part.
Think of the Marseille duck rat.
Yeah. Wears a big ring on his right hand. A knuckle duster. I know all about that ring. Believe me, I know all about it.
Why, Pete? Why are you here?
Because of a guy named Remington. Known?
General Remington. Yeah, I know.
Well, he's in Tunis because of a woman. The company got the tip he was never going to leave the city alive.
Hmm.
If Remington's murdered, it could mean civil war in Monaco. So
you came to find this man.
And look how I ended up.
Have you seen the meeting?
Never had a chance to get near him. I'm going to have to turn it over to you, Ray. And the only lead I can give is the name of a woman. Joan. And
Wait, give me one other lead, Pete. Where did you encounter this Lapard?
In a dive corner. I don't know. But Ray.
Yeah, Pete.
If you find him, watch him. I know a few things about taking care of myself. But man's a man. He handled me like a child. Whatever you do, don't let him get his hands on you.
The Erlenard. A low ceiling, a low cobweb line, and judging the two arguments are flared as soon as we got there, a low boiling point. Mark and I stuck around drinking once in a while to avoid being suspicious. Then, after about 45 minutes, my attention was drawn to a hand resting on the bar beside me. It was a monstrous hand,
heavy and thick. The fact about it that held my gaze was a massive ring that encircled the third finger.
You seem to be curious about me, my friend.
I'm curious about that ring.
You have a reason, perhaps?
I've been told that a man by the name of Lepard wears such an ornament.
So? Well, you can talk to me about that. I am Marcel Lepard. What else did you hear?
That you wear the ring as a weapon.
And that annoys you, really?
I'm annoyed when I think of the man you disfigured within you.
There have been so many men who have tested my little trinket.
Now, this man's name is Peterson. A friend of mine.
Ah, a friend. So, you will do something about it, huh?
Yes. I thought of doing this.
So, you would have smashed my hand, huh? If I had left it there. What did you take me for? I'm an idiot. But now, my friend, it is my turn.
He didn't hurry. Just crouched a little. A black, thick-bodied man of tremendous strength. I set myself, and he came in. I was sure of one thing as I got my knees under me there on the floor. The pod was no lily pad to be plucked lightly. I watched him weather as he came erect across the room from me. Then I became conscious of something else. He had friends. Proof of that was presented in the form of a heel that gouged into the cap of my leg.
Hey, I'm blowing the lights. Let's get out of here.
All right. I think we're clear, huh?
Well, thanks. I couldn't go another 50 feet.
Oh, thanks, Marco. It was a burden you created back there.
No.
Yeah, I was in the spot.
Oh, didn't know you were in it. I had more pals than all of them in the pool room.
Yeah.
Look, come, will you?
Hmm.
Since when you started going around picking through?
You saw what Lepard did to Pete Peterson.
Oh.
That was enough to raise any man's blood pressure.
Look, any time you tangle with that Lepard, you ain't attending no tea party. Oh. What do we do now?
Well, it's pretty late. You better go back to the hotel, Sonny.
Oh, no. You don't think you're being stubby, do you? You tend to come out with a suggestion like that, there's only one answer, Chuck. You're going to go see a dame.
That's right, Marcus. A dame by the name of Joan Vanier.
Yeah. Well, take it easy. And try and stay out of trouble, will you? I begin to get the feeling this town is full of
it. Joan Vanier. I expected a brunette. A tall statuette here. Maybe about 35, the last most. Instead, her door was answered by a combination of flaxen hair and blue eyes. Not at all statuesque, but it was a figure that would top any cigarette girl you've ever seen.
What is it you want?
I know it's late, but I'm sending a mutual friend. Thought you might like to chat about them.
Mm-hmm. And just who are these mutual friends?
General Lemitron. And the general's most able aide, Selvon Sebastian.
I see. And who are you?
The name is Race, thank you. I'm here because I'm worried about you.
Mm. Perhaps you'd better come in.
Thank you. Mind if I say I'm surprised?
Concerning
what? You were described to me as a lady of intrigue. But if someone will...
I'm sure you mean to be complimentary.
Oh, I do mean to.
I want to sit down, Ray. Would you care for a drink?
Hello, Paul. I'm quite content with the atmosphere of the day. There's a little puzzle here.
Yes?
Why the tie-up with Lemitron? He's big, but he's not that big. You. If you could have anything you set your mind on, you could.
No, you're not being complimentary, sir.
Yeah. It almost makes me believe it. Yeah.
Don't make yourself proud, you are. Now, what is it you came to see me about?
Let me draw him here and finish because of you. If he stays, he's in danger of losing his life.
Grace, you must know something clearly. I'm not in love with General Lemitron. I never have been. nor have I ever given him any encouragement. But he would do it because he's not there.
I can understand what you're saying. I can believe it. Sometimes a man goes a little out of his head over a woman, even though she doesn't feel the same way about him. Would you be willing to leave him so that he'll go too?
This is my house.
Well, if you pick it up for a short time, you could go to Paris. Do something.
Is it really so important, Isaac? Just a whim of someone.
American insurance companies learned the General Dimitrov to be assassinated here in Paris. If possible, we'd like to prevent it happening. That's why I'm here.
All right, honey. I'll go to Paris. But I won't enjoy it.
I won't enjoy it either. Much rather have you here in Paris.
I like to your town.
I like to. Yeah. I'll see if you make it from there.
Well, I know I can.
Don't worry. I'll never keep you waiting very long. Outside, for all the lateness of the hour, the night was full of sound. Murmuring people, patronizing sidewalk jumpers. You could hear them, but you could hardly see them. Soon as it was like that after dark. There were a few lights and had the atmosphere of a darkened stage. Stage set for drama and suspense. And as I walked, a voice reached for me from shadows.
Wait. One moment. Perhaps you don't remember me. Sullivan Sebastian.
Of course I remember you. And as a matter of fact, I'm glad to see you.
At the risk of seeming impertinent, I must ask what you are doing at the apartment of Mademoiselle Vernet.
How was the what, dog? Happy today. I was discussing General Lemaitre. And you said?
Lemaitre. A great man. A genius. At the moment, he suffers from temporary insanity because of a woman.
Well, you've been credit, Sebastian. A woman well worth it.
No woman is worth a man's life. Do you know who's after me, Mitchell Ray? Balgon himself. The general has become too strong. The party has become too strong. At home, I was at work. There we can protect me from. But here...
Yeah, maybe it'll work out. I've just persuaded the girl to go to Paris.
Paris? What good will that do, Ray? The Mitchell will follow her. No. We'll have to get him home. Oh. Does the girl go through my Monaco?
No, you'll have to ask her, I won't. And I doubt it. Says she's never given Lemaitre any encouragement, has she?
I know, I know. I think they're hopeless. Ray, why don't you come with me to our villa? You know Lemaitre, and he may respect your advice.
Hmm? At least talk to him.
Good. Let us go about it.
It was only a short walk, not more than 5 minutes. And I stirred up my thinking to plan what I'd say to the general. But in front of the villa, I found myself with other problems in the shape of several shadowy figures that suddenly confronted us.
You are going somewhere, eh?
In the park.
Really, the park.
Would you mind getting out of my way?
You are forgetting something, Ray. We have some unfinished business.
Later, Lepard. At the moment, I have other matters to take care of.
Now, Monsieur Ray, in this time, you will not run from me.
I suddenly came in, ramming a heel into his knee. He fell away, but then his companions came at us. Making a wild spinning affair with Lepard and I again finding one another in the dark.
This time, you will not get away. This time, I am going to kill you.
He had his hands about my throat, and they were like bolt cutters. But I slammed a punch in his stomach and another. And he let go. But then as he came in again, I drilled through his jaw. You all right, Sebastian?
Yes. Those warfare. I should have had this gun out sooner. What about your men?
I'd say he's in a thorough state of coma.
Then everything is satisfactory.
Maybe. Let's get inside. I'm feeling we better check for the general. Sebastian nodded and we went into the villa. We had no trouble finding General Lemaitre. He was in the living room, and in no condition to receive a visitor. The general lay face down on the carpet, a sprawled, grotesque figure. The general had been stabbed to death.
We'll return to the adventures of Frank Race in just about 1 minute. Now, back to the adventures of Frank Race.
From the look of it, the general had been stabbed just as he came into the room. His hat, a soft Panama, lay a few feet from his head. An incongruous note was an electric razor that had been placed in the phone stand. I glanced at Sebastian. He stood immobile, staring down at his dead chief. He stood this way for a long time before he said anything. And when he spoke, he still kept his gaze on the quiet form lying at his feet.
So, they have done it. And all the time I've been afraid. I never really thought they would.
But let me make you a drink, Sebastian.
You will never know, Ray, how much I worship this man.
Some of this brandy, you know.
They murdered him because he'd become too popular with the people. He would have been our next president at the next election. Do you realize that, Ray? It was a foregone conclusion.
Here, Sebastian. Take this drink.
You will drink it, Ray. The fire I need is already beginning to burn and spite me.
What are you going to do?
I'm going home.
Set the country on fire, eh?
What do you expect? You think I'm going to let them get away with this?
You said you've got an election coming up. Why don't you let the people return the verdict? Through the ballots?
No. We will settle this now, when I take back Lemitron's body.
Yes. That'll do it, won't it? All you'd need to do would be to utter a cry. Avenge Lemitron. And the country's in for a bloody civil war. But nobody will be surprised, only Sebastian. You people have always done it that way, haven't you? An eye for an eye.
Yes. They have always done it that way. An eye for an eye. Seems like girls.
Now, wait a minute. You have no proof that Joan Vanel had anything to do with this.
I don't need proof. She was the cause of his being here. That is enough.
I've got a warning for you, Sebastian. That girl must not be harmed.
Tell. I tell the woman for you, Jenny. Then you go home.
He was standing there like a man in a trance. And I knew that nothing could be done with him. So I turned from him, left the villa, returned to the center of the city. Sebastian is. General Lemitron's been murdered, and Sebastian is blaming you.
Blaming me? How are they? You may come in.
Her hair was tousled from slumber, and her eyes were sleepy. She looked cuter than a chicken and meat, Sebastian. So I took her in my arms. But only for a minute. This was a girl in danger.
What is it about Sebastian?
He's always been a fanatic about Lemitron. Now he's gone mad.
Can you not realize that
you can't get that through to him now. I tried. He's in a fog of bitterness and hate. So I'm going to get you away from here. You're going to the Hotel Majestic. I was able to get a room for her next to the one Mark and I had. It was 3 o'clock by then. But when I tried to turn in, I found myself too restless. So I awakened Mark. That girl I went to see when I left her, she'd be in the next room. She might be in danger, so I want you to watch out for her.
Yeah.
I don't think anything's going to happen. Steal her down, will you?
Yeah, sure. Where you want?
I don't know. I can't feel it down. I thought I'd go out for half an hour. I'll be down at the bar, I believe it.
Okay, okay. That one for me while you're at it.
Ted Conley, his red hair a little on end from having a good time. With him was another American, a lad he introduced as Larry Charles.
I sure am glad to meet you, Race. We need a little company around here. Place has been dying on its feet.
Yes,
Celebrating something?
I sure am. I'm celebrating the fact I'm about to become a BTO.
BTO?
Yeah, big time operator.
Oh. Yes. Dreaming big dreams, Ray. Liquor does that to Larry every time.
Listen, boy, I'm a cinch. I'm a cinch, I tell you. Hey, what do you have, Ray?
Hey, don't try none of this phony scotch. It'll cut your throat.
I'll have a Fina low.
Huh?
Brandy and soda.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, give the man a Fina. Give the man a brandy and soda.
Listen, Mason, let me tell you about me. Know what I do for a living? I sell nitrate. Hey, that's a fancy name for fertilizer.
Mm.
Yeah, that's what I do. I sell nitrate all over Europe. Here's your Fina. Fina low. Here, brandy and soda.
Well, thanks.
I sell nitrates, but I got a competitor. A nice fella, but a competitor. Yeah, 3 or 4 months ago, he beat me out on a big order. Millions of sacks of the stuff. I was feeling pretty bad. Yeah, toss that down, Rates. Have another one.
No, thanks. I'll...
You know what happened? Big country to the north all of a sudden wants a lot of nitrates. More anybody can supply. Yeah, which sends the price way, way up. And here's my competitor all contracted up to deliver every bit he's got to Lamaco. But me, I ain't signed up to deliver nothing, you see. So I can deal with the big country up north at those very pretty prices.
Well, I drink to your success.
Thanks, Ray. Thanks a lot. Hey, you're drinking to a big operator, you know that? A big operator. Ain't it a shame, you know, they don't have any bourbon around here? What I wouldn't do for a good glass of... bartender, another thing, brandy and soda for Mr. Race. Yeah, but you got to listen to some more, Race. You ain't heard the funniest part.
Race!
You see, Race, we got to help a competitor.
Partners, Larry, what is it, Mark?
Yeah, it's gone. I was trying to wake, like you said, but I must have dropped off, and I heard something. I went out in the hall, but I was too late. The door was open, she was gone.
Trouble, Race?
Plenty of trouble. Lovely girl in a jam. She's no fault of her own.
Well, let's get her out of it. Yeah, we'll help all we can.
Of course.
Well, that makes 4 of us, Race. We ought to be able to do something about it. We could find her.
Well, I've got an idea where she might be. Come on. I guess it's Lemaitre's villa. Match will be found there, guarded by a couple of waterfront renegades.
Huh? Did we take them ourselves or do we go out and together?
Well, we're here, we'll take them ourselves. You get the one in the chair, I'll take the lad in the cellar. Let's go.
I got mine!
And I'll get mine!
Look. Oh, brother. I've been told. I'm getting so I don't even need an end wrench.
I had a feeling you'd come.
Oh, John, I hope you're all right.
You just don't tie my hand.
Hey, a fine thing. You said you were just coming in to reconnoiter. Yeah, why don't you let me and Ted in on the phone?
Well, I'm sorry, Larry. It seems simpler to do it this way.
What makes you think it's so simple, Ray?
Mr. Sebastian, standing in the doorway. And I knew what he meant. He had the glare of a fanatic in his eyes. He gripped a submachine gun in his hands.
Let me repeat my question. What makes you think it's so simple?
I see I was wrong.
And a man cannot afford to be wrong. When he meddles in affairs that don't concern him. Can he, Ray?
Sebastian, we've known each other for years. Be logical about this girl.
She was one of the causes of Lemaitre's death. There were other causes, but she was one. So she is going to die. Is it that you wish to die with her, Ray?
He moved his hair trigger. The look in his finger was going to flame that Tommy gun into action. My sensitive bullet wouldn't stop at Joan from there. I stood there frozen, without a thought. And then, just a part of my glance took in the electric razor I'd seen before, the incongruous note. It was still on the phone stand, and it started gears meshing in my brain. I spoke to him again. Sebastian, this girl didn't have anything to do with Lemaitre's death, and neither did any of your countrymen.
Now you're talking just to divert me.
No, I'm not. The answer, Sebastian, is nitrates.
Nitrates?
Your country contracted for heavy shipments of the stuff a few months ago, you remember?
Which means nothing to me.
It means everything. Since then, the price for nitrates has gone up tremendously. If the contract with your government could be broken, the seller stands to profit considerably by the increase in price. But it's hard to break a contract with a nation, isn't it, Sebastian? A civil war would do it, though, wouldn't it? Then the seller could refuse delivery. Do you see, Sebastian?
I see no proof. I see no killer.
You can turn your eyes on the proof. That electric razor on the phone stand. I'll gamble that there's your proof. Here, let me show you.
Oh, it's a trick.
No, it's not a trick. General Lemaitre was a soldier, an engineer. An engineer is an orderly person. What would his razor be doing in this room unless someone else moved it here? Lemaitre couldn't have been using it. He just came in when he was murdered.
A lot of wealth, Ray.
No, no, I've got it. I know it. The killer waited here for the general, waited a long time. He wandered about, hardly picked up the razor in the bathroom and started to shave himself. But the general's arrival startled him, and he kept the razor in his hand when he came in here. Well, look, even the cord's still attached to it. I'm going to pick it up, Sebastian. I'm going to give you further proof.
All right. Pick it up. But any tricks, and I turn this gun loose.
Larry, you were saying plenty about nitrates this evening, remember?
Yeah, Race, I remember. What's that?
That competitor you mentioned, you were talking about Ted Conley, wasn't you?
Yeah, I was, but...
Wait a second, Race. You can't pin this on me.
I think I can, Conley. I think I can. Here's your proof, Sebastian. Proof that Ted Conley was in this room today. The hairs inside this cutting mechanism. Some of them are gray, but the others indicate this razor has been used by a red-headed man.
Hey, Conley's gone.
Leave that to me. I'll get it.
If I ever lived through this night.
Oh, but you've got to live through it, baby. I've got plans for a lot of other nights. And all of them include you.
Adventures of Frank Race, starring Tom Collins with Tony Barrett as Mark Donovan, comes to you from Hollywood. Others heard in tonight's cast were Lillian Baieff, Wilms Herbert, Jack Crucian, and Harry Lang. This series is written and directed by Buckley Angel and Joel Murcutt. The music is composed and played by Ivan Dittmar. Be sure to be with us again this time next week for another dramatic chapter in The Adventures of Frank Race. Art Gilmore speaking. This is a Bruce Ells production.